Hello, I'm Gary Peck, your host on Memories and Music, presented Sunday at 1 p.m. by Inco Metals Company. This week my guest will be Bill Ellis, a former mayor of Sudbury, who guided the city for the years 1962 and 1963. On the program, we will be talking about politics in general and Bill Ellis' career in particular. Join Bill Ellis and myself Sunday at 1 o'clock when Inco Metals Company presents Memories and Music on Stereo 92.7 CIGM FM.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Memories and Music on CIGM FM Stereo, brought to you every Sunday at this time by Inco Metals Company Limited. I'm Doug McLaughlin, and I'll be back in a couple of moments with our first musical selection. But right now, Gary Peck is about to introduce you and I to today's special guest.
Today on Memories and Music, we have the opportunity, in fact, the privilege of interviewing one of Sudbury's former mayors. Sudbury has had 31 mayors. Many have tried for the position and few have been successful. But our guest today is Bill Ellis, mayor of Sudbury from 1962 to 1963. He served 2 years as mayor of the community of Sudbury. In just a few moments, we'll begin our interview with Bill Ellis. However, first, we'll turn the program over to Doug McLaughlin, our music host. Today on Memories and Music, our guest is Bill Ellis, former mayor of the city of Sudbury. And welcome to the program, Mr. Ellis.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Ellis, you were born March the 19th, 1914, and you came to Sudbury in 1939. Where did you come from? Where were you born?
Well, I was born in Marmara, Ontario, and lived 4 or 5 years in Point Anne, and then moved to Belleville in 1923. So I remained in Belleville from 23 until 39.
Until 39. What line of work were you in when you were living in that area?
I was a buttermaker with Belleville Creameries and Swift Canadian Company.
And when you came to Sudbury in 39, what was the motivation behind that move?
Well, there was very little work in Belleville or Southern Ontario, and I'd heard that there was International Nickel were employing people in Sudbury, so a couple of friends and myself, we come to Sudbury, and we were all fortunate in getting a position or a job.
So you had friends in the area, and really the mining industry is what attracted you to the area.
That's right.
So many have been attracted because of that reason.
That's true.
You began working with Inco?
I began with Inco, yes.
And worked with Inco the rest of your life, I assume?
Yes, up until 1978.
What line of work were you involved in?
I started underground and worked a short time, and then I was transferred. I had my stationary engineer's certificate, and I was transferred to the mechanical department as a stationary engineer.
And what were the locations where you were working?
I worked at Froude and Stovey, Murray Mine, and Garson Mine for a short period of time.
Do you recall some of the people you were working with? Some of the supervisors?
Yes. I first worked for a man by the name of Joe Butler. He was the assistant master mechanic at Froude. And then went on later working for Jim Miles and Campbell Girdwood.
Campbell Girdwood is a name well known in the area, with the Girdwoods having been in Sudbury for quite a while.
That's right.
Father being connected with woodworking.
That's right.
You're married. Is your wife from Sudbury?
No, my wife is from Marmara.
Marmara. So you met in that area?
No, we met in Belleville. He was going to high school, and this is where we met.
You have a family?
We have a family of two boys.
Two boys. Are they living in the area?
One lives in Chelmsford, and the other one lives in Sudbury.
So they've also been attracted to this area and have remained here?
That's right.
What prompted you to go into the dairy business, or be associated with a dairy operation?
Well, I was, when I finished school, I was fortunate in getting a job in a dairy, or a creamery, and I just went on from there.
So it wasn't necessarily an interest in that type of work, but there was employment there.
That's right. Yeah, there was very little employment in the 30s, I guess not only in Belleville, but many other places.
It was difficult everywhere, wasn't it? Were your parents from that area? Were they born in that area?
Yes, they were. Yeah, both my mother and father.
When you came to Sudbury in 1939 and worked with Inco, would you say that you had an early interest in politics, or was that something that was acquired over a period
of time? No, that was acquired, and there was a fellow by the name of Dave Younger. He used to be a high school teacher, and so he got me interested in politics, and I was with the Ratepayers Association and so on, and then we needed services in the area, and some of my friends felt that that I would be able to get them, and of course they were behind me and elected me.
Supportive of you. All right, we'll turn the program over to Doug McLaughlin, our music host, and when we return, we'll talk about your political career in Sudbury. First, however, we'll hear from Doug McLaughlin. Bill Ellis, former mayor of the city of Sudbury, is our guest today on Memories and Music. Mr. Ellis, prior to the music interlude, you were talking about the motivation. You were explaining why you became involved in politics. And I believe you became a councillor for the township of McKim in 1953.
That's right.
And you remained as councillor until 57?
57. I was elected reeve of the township then.
In 57. Who was the reeve when you were councillor?
Carl Nesbitt.
Carl A. Nesbitt. One of the schools in New Sudbury being named after him.
That's right.
What kind of man was Carl A. Nesbitt?
Well, Carl was a very nice man. He was very fiery. He had a quick temper and flew off the handle easily, but very knowledgeable and sincere, and worked on behalf of the public.
What kind of background did he have? What did he do for a living?
He was a timekeeper with Inco, primarily at Stovey Mine.
Now, you were elected reeve in 57. Your plans were to run against Carl Nesbitt?
Yes, that's right.
And he was transferred just...
And he was transferred. Inco opened up in Thompson, Manitoba, and he was transferred up there.
Did you have any opponents when you ran in 57?
Yes, I did.
Can you recall who they were?
Yes, Cecil Fielding.
Cecil Fielding ran?
That's right.
He was the only opponent?
At that time, yes.
Now, what was it like to be a counselor for the township? What kind of work were you involved in?
Well, it was all kinds of work. People had all kinds of problems. At least they felt they were problems. At that time, there was only one area that had sewer and water. That was Gatchel, and all the other areas had wells and septic tanks,
mm-hmm.
or outhouses. So there was a lot of work involved then.
Right. The township was broken into four areas. You mentioned Gatchel had sewer and water.
Yes, then there was New Sudbury, Minnow Lake, and Lockerbie.
And you were a counselor for Minnow Lake.
That's right.
Would you say it was very time-consuming being a counselor at that time?
Yes, it was, but it was also very enjoyable.
Oh, I'm sure it must have been.
And, had the opportunity of meeting an awful lot of people, and I really enjoyed that.
Did your responsibilities change in a dramatic way when you became reeve?
Well, yes. It was much similar, although it had the whole township to contend with, rather than just one area. So you might say there was more than four times as much work.
And you'd have to be the kind of person who could pull together your council, in a sense, because you were working with other councillors.
That's right. That's true.
What were some of the major problems facing McKim Township as a township when you were reeve?
Well, I suppose the biggest problem was water and sewer, and of course the other things that go along with it, but they were the biggest problems.
When you became reeve in 57, was your term at that time 1 year?
1 year terms, yes.
1 year, so you ran in 58.
58 and 59.
Did you have opponents in 58?
I did, and I just can't think of who they were at the time.
And 59 you had opponents.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You were successful in those three elections. And then 1960, amalgamation occurred?
That's right.
For those who perhaps were not in the area at that time or do not recall, what was amalgamation when we talk about that?
Well, that was the city of Sudbury amalgamated with all of McKim Township, half of Nealon Township, and Froude Mine.
What motivated that? What brought it about?
There was the mining revenues that were going to the government, and because of amalgamation, we felt that mining revenues would be coming to the city of Sudbury through taxation.
Was that the case? Did it seem it to work out that way?
Well, eventually it worked out that way, but...
Took a while.
It took quite a number of years.
Were you a supporter of amalgamation?
No, I wasn't.
At the time?
No.
Why would you not be?
We felt that by being small, and we could accomplish things just as well or maybe better, and we were getting a much larger grant from the provincial government. So it was felt that we could do better on our own.
I would assume, though, once amalgamation occurred, you still being involved in politics, you worked to help to make it work.
Yes, successful. That's right. That's...
Looking back, do you feel that the amalgamation was good? Or is it difficult to say?
I would say yes, it was, that one has to keep up with the times, and yes, it would be better.
Were many people opposed to amalgamation in 1960?
Yes, I think the majority of the general public were opposed to it.
Then how did it occur?
I think that it was primarily the government that wanted it and ordered it.
The provincial government felt that amalgamation was necessary, and they were the supporters of it.
That's right, that's right.
Was the city of Sudbury in favor of it, as you recall?
Well, of course, the city of Sudbury, the council of the city of Sudbury, had applied for amalgamation. However, prior to it becoming law, the majority of council then did not want it. So
there was a change of heart.
Well, I think when they figured, when they realized what the cost was going to be, they didn't want it.
Joe Favreau was mayor at that time?
Yes.
Prior to amalgamation?
That's right.
And he was a supporter of it?
He was a supporter, yes.
It reminds one of a little bit of regional government in the sense that there was opposition to it when it occurred as well back in 73.
I would say much similar, right?
You've had the opportunity of going through two such developments. Well, amalgamation occurred in 1960, and now the township would then have an opportunity. It would be part of the city of Sudbury, so it would be included as wards of the city?
That's right, yes.
Mm-hmm. And what would this ward have been then?
Well, this was always Ward 1.
Ward 1.
Right.
Did you run in Ward 1 when amalgamation occurred?
No, I ran for Board of Control.
For Board of Control. What was Board of Control?
It was primarily a finance committee, and they dealt with the budgets and, I would say, primarily the finance committee.
So it really was an important part of that city council, in a sense, or an important part of municipal government.
I would say so, yes.
And one of the differences, you had to run at large. You had to get votes from across the city, as opposed to a particular ward.
From the whole city, yes.
Entire city. Do you recall who ran in Middle Lake in that year? Just to put you on the spot,
no,
all of a sudden.
I just can't.
No, your interest then was to garner votes across the city. How many wards were there with amalgamation? For example, would Middle Lake be one ward? Would New Sudbury be one? Gatchel and Lockerbie, did they come in as separate wards?
At the beginning, yes, in 1960. And then when I was mayor, there was a friction between the so-called old city of Sudbury and McKim Township. And when I became mayor, then I had the wards changed, the boundaries of the wards changed, whereby parts of the township and part of the city would become one ward. So a representative, there wasn't the in and the outs. Was the aldermen in particular, they represented part of the township and part of the city.
So that helped to break down the division after
That's right.
a period of time.
Uh-huh.
You introduced the phrase the in and the out. Were you the first mayor from the outlying area? Were you the first mayor
yes,
elected from the township?
Yes, I was.
Were there more wards representing the former city as opposed to the townships? Or was
no,
it evenly balanced?
No, evenly balanced.
in terms of population, though?
Of course, the population
would be concentrated in the city.
Right.
In the city. You were on Board of Control for 2 years?
Well, I was...
60, 62?
60 and 61. And then I was on Board of Control for 4 or 5 years after 60.
All right. But at the onset, it was for 2 years?
For 2 years, yes.
Were they two-year terms?
They were two-year terms. And, of course, I was fortunate, and I headed the polls on Board of Control, and I was automatically then deputy mayor.
You were deputy mayor then to
Bill Edgar.
All right. Now, in 1962, you became mayor of Sudbury. And I think what we'll do is we'll take a break now, turn the program back to Doug McLaughlin. When we return, we'll pursue that aspect of your political career, and we'll get some insight into what it was like to be mayor of the city of Sudbury. First, we'll hear from Doug McLaughlin. Bill Ellis, mayor of city of Sudbury for 1962-63, is our guest today on Memories and Music. At the onset of the program, Mr. Ellis, I mentioned that Sudbury has had 31 mayors. A number of people have gone after the position, but as I indicated, we've had only 31. What was it like to be mayor of the city? I imagine it was quite an honor.
Well, it was definitely an honor. Again, with the amalgamation, that there was a tremendous amount of work getting services to the public, and of course, all of the public wanted the services in 1 year.
Yes.
And that just wasn't possible, so it had to be a little bit in each area, and of course, I guess it's still the same thing today.
Mm-hmm. When amalgamation occurred in 1960, Bill Edgar became the mayor, and I think Bill Edgar, his only opponent was Joe Fabro, who he beat by over 1,000 votes in that year.
I believe that was the case.
In 1960. You had given some thought to running for mayor at that time?
Yes, I was going to run for mayor at the beginning of amalgamation, and I wasn't able to get leave of absence from International Nickel, so I ran for Board of Control.
Successfully ran for Board of Control?
Yes, I was elected and headed the polls, and automatically was deputy mayor.
Deputy mayor with Bill Edgar?
With Bill Edgar, yes.
So your interest in being mayor of the city went back to amalgamation, and it was only logical, I suppose, that you would run in 1962.
Yes.
You had that interest?
I did, yes.
Bill Edgar did not run in 62.
He ran for Board of Control and was elected.
So both of you transferred your positions?
That's right.
Did he top the polls?
No, he did not.
But he was elected as Board of Control, and you came in as mayor. You had two opponents that year.
Yes, Peter Gimo and Abby Gagne.
What was it like to campaign back in 62?
Well, there was a lot of door knocking, and of course, going to different meetings and organizations. I met the people and secured their support and was elected.
We talked today of political machines. Would you have a machine then in terms of a number of people working for you?
Not as such, no.
No, you'd be doing a lot of the door knocking yourself.
Right, right.
Would you have meetings where the three candidates would appear together?
Yes, we did. In the various schools throughout the area, we had meetings. The Ratepayers Association put these meetings on. And of course, we would attend and solicit support at these meetings.
Would there be debates or... Would it ever reach that stage?
Oh, yes. Some of these meetings were pretty hot and heavy.
Pretty hot and heavy. And I suppose that was to the advantage of the audience.
Right,
It'd be good entertainment in a way as well, I would imagine. All right, you successfully defeated Peter Gimo and Abby Gagne in 1962. During your 2 years as mayor of the city, what were some of the major projects that you undertook as mayor? Well, one you indicated earlier was reorganization of the boundaries. Whether that was
yes.
a major project, that was
no.
A major
I wouldn't say that was a major project. It was trying to get the bus companies to give passes or transfers so that one person could ride throughout the whole city on one ticket. And there were three or four different companies, so. There were three or four different charges if one wished to travel from one end of the city to the other.
Demerara was one of the companies?
Demerara, Sudbury Bus Lines,
Sudbury
yes.
Sudbury Bus Lines, DeLongchamp?
DeLongchamp, which was a fruit bus line.
And
Barbo? Barbo, he had the Mineral Lake bus line.
And Carter?
And Carter. He had New Sudbury.
And your intention was to bring the four of them together and work out an arrangement so the transfers could occur.
That's right.
And that was one of your campaign planks, I believe.
That was one of my campaign promises.
And how did that work out?
Not too well. The companies had agreed to form one company, and you might say at the last moment, Demera or Sudbury Bus Lines, they withdrew and they submitted a contract of their own.
What was the nature of that contract?
It wasn't as good as the one submitted by the other companies.
From a monetary point of view, they were exactly the same, though, were they not? There was something common about the two?
Yes, they were exactly the same, excepting Demera was going to be operating on a retainer or a management fee. And if I recall correctly, the fee was $25,000 a year for 10 years, and then after 10 years, Demera would own all of the equipment of the bus companies.
The city opted for the other contract.
That's right.
The other three companies, I believe, came together and brought in their own bid.
That's right.
Now, why were you in favor of the latter bid?
Well, it was a better contract, I felt, and the majority of council felt, because of the...
Of
the 10-year period, and Demera would, or could... have all new equipment at the end of that term, and the citizens of Sudbury would be paying for it.
Mm-hmm. That was one of your main concerns as mayor.
That's right.
Were there other projects that were undertaken as well?
Well, of course, there was the sewer and water.
Continuing that work?
Continuing that work, yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you became mayor, you were unfortunately beset with health problems.
Yes, just before New Year's Day, I...
The day before inauguration.
The day before inauguration, I had coronary, and I ended up in hospital for 5.5 weeks.
A very inauspicious way of beginning your term.
Well, yes, it was, and after a couple of days, I was wanting to get out and get back at the work again, but that didn't materialize until 5.5 weeks.
Now, I understand you didn't accept that heart attack.
No, I didn't. It had to be someone else, and of course, I went right back to work again, and in April, I had another one, and that time, I accepted it.
Now, and that probably, I would imagine, made you quite cautious as mayor. You were not able to get as involved as you really would like to.
Well,
I'm sure you were very involved, but that would always be in the back of your mind, I suppose.
Yes, it was. I learned to slow down.
Pace yourself.
Right.
In 1964, you ran for mayor. 64?
64, yes.
For the term of 64-65. Your opponents that year, it was quite a packed field, I believe.
Yes, there were five altogether. Sammy Rothschild, Joe Fabro, Ernie Prue.
Maxie Silverman?
Maxie Silverman and myself.
Yourself. And as the incumbent with a packed field, you would expect the advantage would be in your favor.
I thought so, yes.
However, Joe Fabro won that election.
That's right.
What were the reasons for that, for his victory, for your defeat?
Well, I would say that there were two factors. I didn't think of them at the time, but enough people told me that they did not vote for me for health reasons. And of course, the bus issue was the other one.
The bus issue, was it because they didn't understand the bus issue?
I would say yes, plus the fact that the Sudbury bus drivers, who were going to be out of a job, they worked against me, and of course, Fabro, he seized the opportunity.
Was able to take advantage of that.
That's right.
They were a unionized company, I believe.
That's right.
And they worked as a group against you, I assume, supportive of Fabro.
That's right.
So that was one factor. And the other factor was the health problem.
Yes, people felt that they didn't want to be a part and parcel of having another heart attack.
At the onset, you would think they were just trying to console you, but over the years, you've had enough people tell you that.
That's right. That's true.
That you've accepted the sincerity of that.
Mm, that's right.
Did you enjoy your term as mayor?
Yes, I did. I enjoyed my all my experience and time on council.
Running for mayor in 1962, what would it have cost? approximately?
I would say in round figures about $2,000.
Around $2,000. Mm-hmm. Today, considerably more.
Yes, it would be.
Now, pursuing your political career beyond 1963, you were elected to the Board of Control?
There was a vacancy in 63, or 64 rather, and I was appointed by council to fill that vacancy, and then I went on the following year and was elected to Board of Control.
Were you on council after that?
I remained on council up until the regional government.
Until 1972.
That's right. And of course in 72 or 73 there was a vacancy on regional council, and I was appointed again to fill that vacancy for the balance of that term.
What prompted you not to run for regional?
Well, I had spent a total of 18 years on council, and I felt that that was pretty well long enough.
You'd gone through amalgamation, and perhaps it was concerned you just didn't want to go through this other major readjustment as well. Would that be part of it?
Well, I think maybe the longevity. Yes, right.
Or particularly the longevity.
I think so.
Now, you've had an opportunity of knowing a number of the mayors through the years, have had an opportunity to see some of them as counselors. I think what we'll do is we'll take a break now, and when we return, perhaps you could share with us your observations about some of the previous mayors, your successors, and some of your predecessors. But first, we'll turn the program over to Doug McLaughlin. Our guest today on Memories and Music is Bill Ellis, mayor of Sudbury during the term 1962-63. And Mr. Ellis, your predecessor, your immediate predecessor, was Bill Edgar. And I understand that you and Mr. Edgar are very good friends. What was Bill Edgar like? What is he like as an individual, and what was he like as a mayor?
Well, I would say that Bill Edgar is one of the nicest men in Sudbury. Bill Edgar, I would say that his only fault was he just couldn't say no. And he wanted to be doing something for everyone, and of course, with money problems, that just wasn't possible.
With financial restraints in the community.
Right, right.
But he was a mayor for the people. He was working for the people in the community.
Yeah, right. And I suppose having been a teacher, or he was a teacher at the time, and he knew what people should have, and he tried his utmost in order to get the things that the public wanted.
That helps to account for his success.
I would think so, yes.
How many years were you in politics?
A total of 18.
That's a long time. And of course, you still have your foot in the ring, in a sense, because you're on the Committee of Adjustment, I believe.
Yes, I am.
For the region.
For the region, that's right.
What's your work like on that committee?
At the beginning of regional government, it was quite heavy. But when I say quite heavy, we met almost once a week. But now it's down to two and sometimes three meetings a month, so it has slackened off considerably.
What's the nature of your work on that committee?
For land splits and minor variances where people wish to add on to a home that doesn't meet the bylaw requirements, and the committee has to give this approval.
And this is the members of that committee are appointed by council?
They're appointed by council, and it's a semi-judicial body. Our decisions have to be or can be appealed to the Ontario Municipal Board, and they are the only ones that can overrule our decisions.
I assume you're enjoying that opportunity of being on the committee.
Yes, I am.
Keeps you in contact with the people.
It's meeting the public and continuing to see them and work for the public, yes.
Probably in your blood, isn't it?
That's right, that's right.
Looking back, Mr. Ellis, over a career spanning 18 years, you have fond memories of your association in politics. It can be frustrating, but it would be my view that you certainly enjoyed the experience.
I enjoyed it all. I wouldn't say every minute of it. There were frustrations, but on the whole, yes, I enjoyed it very, very much.
Good. Mr. Ellis, on behalf of our listening audience, I would like to thank you very much for agreeing to be interviewed today. It's been a pleasure meeting you, and I'll look forward to meeting you perhaps, at the Committee of Adjustment anyhow. A number of people have made the comment that I should come over and interview you for the program, and they have fond comments that they make about you. So it certainly has been a pleasure on my part.
Well, it's a pleasure being interviewed, Gary, and I enjoyed every moment of it.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Memories and Music on CIGM FM Stereo, brought to you every week at this time by Inco Metals Company Limited. Next week, our special guest will be Mrs. Jean Billsborough. Thank you.